Del Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they don't, and they won't, like that. Welcome to our program. We're going to start with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, who has some legal troubles, a bit of a legal snafu down there with one of or two of his employees. We are also going to talk about the North Korean satellite launch that failed today. There was a rocket launch from North Korea that was a failed launch, and it has been the subject of a great deal of conversation, believe it or not. Among people that I know, entertainers and comics, obviously, they make jokes about things. But I didn't think that this was going to be that big of a deal. And it's become quite a big deal for a lot of people. There's other news to get to tonight. We will get to all of that. Our website is philhenryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch a live streaming video of our show and watch us perform our show. Our radio show is really the only one that's worth watching. And I don't mean that there aren't other radio shows that you can listen to that are, you know, fairly good, but ours is not only good, but you can watch it, and it's somewhat entertaining. So check us out on Phil TV in HD. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and you're having another sale tonight, right, Bob?
Well, we are, Phil, and you can hear that we have a pretty full house here tonight, so we're really happy about it.
If you get a little bit closer to the phone for me.
I said, Phil, we have a pretty full house tonight, so we're very happy.
Today, you received a phone call from an attorney, correct?
I did, and I chose to talk to a couple of members of the media, yourself and a few others, about this. You know, you were talking about the North Korean launch, this missile launch today, Phil. I was watching this with my employees, the news, as we do during lunchtime, and I saw the news that this North Korean missile had misfired or had somehow failed. I don't know anything about these things. I'm a businessman. I work in the grocery business. But like any news consumer, I'm interested in what's happening in the world.
Right.
So immediately, I began to hear the jokes on TV and on radio about the Asians who aren't able to shoot a missile in the air without the thing blowing up. I heard jokes about the the made in Japan and made in Korea and the, forgive me, but I did see on your website, or it might have been someone else, the bull haircuts.
Well, I didn't use the term bull haircut, I don't think.
Well, all right, but I think it was someone affiliated with your show. But to the point that I'm trying to make here, I'm hearing all of this, I think, very racist commentary about the Koreans and their space program. They were trying to get a satellite in the air.
Can I just make a comment here?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, the North Koreans are, they're not nice people.
No, I know that. But the comments about the satellite misfiring were all about how these Mr. Spock haircuts and these all those old jokes about how the Asians can't put anything up in the air because their slanted eyes make their peripheral vision, that, you know, bad for flying. I don't know how that works, but
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So while that is going on, and while that is on the air, you can put that in. We're having a sale tonight, Phil. We got people that are we're helping people out to the car with their.
All right. Are you all right to talk?
No, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just directing one of our workers. So while this was going on today, the comments about the North Koreans, about the inept North Koreans, about their technical abilities insofar as putting a satellite into space or putting a rocket into space, however, whatever they're doing, I get a call from this attorney who is a workplace or an employment attorney who is talking to me about a precursor settlement or a discussion or threat of a lawsuit against me. And, you know, he's trying to settle this thing for money. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Well, what was it about? Did he tell you?
Well, yes. In our business, We work as a team, and I've always encouraged us to be a team, even to the point, Phil, where we have sports slogans in our break room. It's, you know, I will often say it's third down and long. We really got to close out this weekend. Remember, customer service, customer service, customer service, and talk up the store wherever you are. I said it's third and long, you know, first down, it's the start of a new game. I use these terms.
Okay.
I even sometimes backhand my employees on the rear end as they do in sports. I don't think there's a football game that goes by on television that you don't see one player after another backhanding another player on his rear end. That is a friendly, encouraging gesture that bespeaks nothing more than friendly or encouraging. This gal, whose name I'm not allowed to mention, apparently contacted her lawyer after I backhanded at least three of my male employees. Jim Wren is one of them. Terry Martin's another. And then this lady, I backhanded her on the rear end. And I'm told that this is sexual harassment. Now, understand, Phil, that she's a middle-aged woman. She's not some young, hot thing.
How old is she?
She's in her 40s.
Well, that's not really middle-aged. When you say middle-aged, I'm thinking...
Well, she's approaching... she's in her mid-40s. She's that, in other words, a young woman. So you can't, there's no way that anybody's going to turn this into a sex thing. And yet that's what I was dealing with today. And I found it very hypocritical that in our society, I'm dealing with a lawyer telling me that my backhanding one of my employees on the rear end, a friendly gesture to encourage her.
You realize, Bob, that backhanding a woman on the rear end.
No, I get it.
That's very, I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it. I'm not judging. If what your intention was simply to say, hey, good game, guys, let's get in there and fight, and you backhand a female, I don't know, man.
It's a judgment call. If I made a mistake, I made a mistake. I'm happy to live by that. But why am I dealing with a lawyer when there are, when today in the news I'm listening to all this racism about these Koreans can't fire a missile because their peripheral vision's blocked by their slanted eyes.
And where were you hearing that, man? Because I tell you, anybody that would say something like that on the air, you know, maybe even 5 years ago you could get away with that.
I was hearing it on the radio. I was seeing it on TV. And
what TV show?
I saw it on one of the shows, The View, or whatever.
On The View?
I think so, yeah. In other words, they whatever these shows are, they pay the people to sit there.
No, I know the shows, but the specific show, it's interesting to know which one we're talking about. The View. Do you remember who said it?
Well, I think it was one of the very obvious people that you're going to think is going to say it. You know, like Whoopi Goldberg, one of the comedians, you know?
Okay. And she said the peripheral vision, huh?
Yeah, but they weren't the only ones. Understand that all day I'm listening to stories about, oh, look at the Koreans can't fire a missile. You know, the Mr. Spock haircut crack I heard, the bull haircut I heard. And I'm on the phone with a lawyer. And I even said to this man, he's a good guy. His name is Thornton. And I said, you know, you're talking to me about suing me because I backhanded your client on the rear end, or that's what she's alleging. And meanwhile, all of these bull haircut jokes about Koreans, the racism. And he said to me, it's unfortunate. And I said, don't you feel silly calling me up with a complaint like this?
Well, look, can I make a comment on the...
But I asked the attorney, and he said to me, you know what, I have to make a living, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm thinking, boy, the woman that contacted him, that my employee, she doesn't even know she's got a lawyer who's sitting there saying, well, I got to make a living. So I don't even know if this guy's going to take it.
All right, you're probably saying more than you should, you know, because this guy's probably listening, you know.
No, no, believe me, Phil, if there's one thing in this world that does not frighten me, it's lawyers.
But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you this question. I get it about the jokes about the Koreans. It's a lot of it's very funny. A lot of it just has to do with how technically inept they are.
No. What I heard today wasn't just that the North Koreans are technically inept. it was that these Mr. Spock haircuts and the slanted eyes. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. And yet, what is the end result of the day? I'm being called by a lawyer because I backhanded his client, a woman in her 40s, on the rear end to try to encourage her to work a little harder.
So, we live in a hypocritical society.
We live in a hypocritical society. And that's what I was trying to get this attorney to see.
Well, I don't know what can be done about that. Let's talk about it here after the break.
Well, if there is no way to discuss something like this in a public forum, then the country is doomed. I almost feel like I would have to fire all of my female checkers just so I can go to work and be a normal human being and not fear that I'm going to be the target of something. When there's all these racists out there talking about Koreans with their funny-looking eyes.
And all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. There's some frustration being expressed there by Robert Green of Fraser Foods on contact he had with an attorney because of what the attorney is alleging was sexual harassment of his client and the hypocrisy that he sees in him having to deal with that while the North Korean missile launch today was the subject of some what he calls racist commentary by comics, calling them bull haircuts, and there's a double standard somewhere. Well, sure there is. Welcome to the world. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. And one thing to think about is who's got the better case here, you know? Is Bob, when he says there's racism out there, that doesn't necessarily mean we forgive the fact that he's backhanding this woman on the ass. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Like that too, you know.
877-876-PHIL. We're back here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're talking with him about there is a sexual harassment complaint that is being leveled against you by one of your checkers. You had this backhand of the rear end of all of your employees, male and female.
Yeah, absolutely, male and female. And
so you did this to other women, and they didn't mind.
I have to be honest with you, Phil. No one has expressed any concern except for her. How many women? I don't know. I don't count. I don't look at it that way.
Well, were you aware that this was a woman?
Of course I was aware it was a woman. It's a middle-aged lady. And I will tell you, I don't tend to do that with the younger women because they are definitely going to, I think they're going to be a little more hypersensitive. Backhanding one of the older women, I didn't think was going to be a problem because generally, if you backhand an older gal on the rump, on the rear end, just to say good job, a lot of times they're flattered by that. You know, the attention is welcome.
How much experience do you have doing that?
Well, that's something that I don't want to talk with you about necessarily. I'm just saying you would think. But let's get back to what we're really talking about here, Phil, is the racism today about the North Korean missile launch and how these people are getting away with calling them every name in the book.
And well, so far you've said you heard bull haircut and you...
I heard bull haircut, the slanted eyes, they can't shoot a missile in the air, these Koreans, you know, people say that, Korean, and I found it very disturbing. Well, in the middle of the day, I'm having to deal with this lawyer. And I asked him, I said, what about the racism, you know?
The racism of the Koreans?
Not the Koreans, no, the racism of the people calling them bull haircuts. That's the point that I'm trying to make. That's the hypocrisy that I was talking about.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Ralph on the line. Go ahead, Ralph. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Robert Green.
You have something mixed up. If you went to South Korea and said what you had to say and let them explain to you why they feel them way, that way about the North Koreans, then you wouldn't make that statement.
America. I heard these comments in America, not South Korea.
Okay, but
you are lumping
South Korea with North Korea. There's a difference.
Right.
And what you think about the North Koreans, they could care less about you trying to take up for their head.
In our country, when you're making a comment about, you know, racial comments in America are frowned upon, is my point. So,
North Korea? Is North Korea communist?
I think they are a communist country, yes, sir.
No, there's nothing. They are communist country.
Well, that doesn't mean you get to call them a bunch of slant eyes, does it? I mean,
I'm black. Wait a minute. I'm black. What if they called us since the time that they brought us over here?
Well, they shouldn't. And even if you were a communist, they shouldn't make those. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't say that. So the North Koreans, they're communists. You're right. But they're still, you know, what they are. They're whatever they are. They're Asian. Is that what it is?
Asian Pacific, yeah.
All right, Asian.
You defended them. Not going to help
yes,
their call or your call, no shape, form, or fashion.
Why do you say that? I mean, I'm trying to say, I heard comedians today, sir, on TV and on radio and so forth, they can't shoot a missile in Korea because of the slanted eyes, you can't see sideways. Something ridiculous like that. I don't know.
They do that to Americans.
What do they say about us?
Right. They make fun of us.
Well, there's different kinds of Americans. What are they going to say?
Comedians make fun of everybody.
I just feel that it's racist.
All right, Bob, let's grant that it's racist, whatever that, you know. And I think I will tell you this, working in entertainment myself, it's probably a little overboard to say slanted eyes and bull haircuts, but you were accused today of a sexual harassment.
No. See, this is what happens. You get sidetracked. You want to get back to me slapping this girl on the rear end, and we won't. And you don't want to talk about the main issue, which was I heard this guy today say something on 5 million Mr. Spock haircuts, and they can't get a missile in the air. That was the joke.
Okay, so that was the joke, and it was an offensive joke.
It was very, very racist.
Okay. Meanwhile, you get a phone call from an attorney saying that his client, an employee of yours, is complaining. Now, you got yourself a sexual harassment complaint.
Yeah, exactly. And my, you know, it wasn't racist of me. I was slapping her on the rear end to make her feel like she's part of the team. Big deal.
But, what century are you living in? Because...
Well, sir, I...
Hold on. Let me talk. You can look
an older
at the woman.
She's an older woman.
Matter of old or young woman, you can look at a woman the wrong way and you'll get harassment against you. But you go and slap them on the back of the butt.
Good point. Yep. That's Bob, you know, these days you look at them, just as the gentleman said, sideways.
Wait. Are either one of you gentlemen employers?
I am. And I don't think...
Yes,
all right,
I am.
Then you guys know that... As an employer, you're trying to get the most work out of your employees. A lot of them, they sit around and smoke a cigarette.
Come on,
what's that?
Man. Not touching them on the butt.
I didn't touch, sir. That's the... I didn't touch. I slapped her on the butt.
Did your hand meet her body?
It hit the fat of her butt.
Okay, well, you will find out when you go to court that you might as well make the settlement because you will lose.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. I think it's a hell of a country that drags me into court, and meanwhile, the anti-Korean...
Bob, I'm going to say something. It sounds to me like you're using this Korean issue as a way of defending yourself.
No, I am not. I told you the woman was middle-aged.
That doesn't make any difference. She's middle-aged. Ralph, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, sir, very much. We got to take a break. Thank you. I got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. But Robert Green, contacted by an attorney for sexual harassment against one of his employees, but he's saying the racism directed at the Koreans today over the failed missile launch is much worse. And that's all anybody's been talking about. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I don't understand.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Today, the North Koreans launched a missile. They were attempting to put a satellite into orbit, and it was a colossal failure. And I say colossal because the North Koreans had been touting their technology, their society, as one that was every bit as advanced as the West, and their Marxist-Leninist run government and society and culture is one that is equal with the West. You know, they're one of the last holdout hardline Stalinist, I call them Marxist-Leninist, hardline Stalinist societies in the world. I don't know, they may be the last. Even the Chinese are not that conservative when it comes to their communist ideology. But the launch was a failure, Bob. You heard a lot of racism in the middle of you dealing with an attorney.
And to the gentleman that I just spoke with, I just want to make one point.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I slapped the lady on the rear end, but she was a middle-aged woman. She wasn't a young woman. She was a woman that I felt would appreciate and understand that it was not a sexual thing. But what shocked me was after getting off the phone with this lawyer, you know, and I put that in quotes, and I don't mean to talk disparagingly, but I was not impressed with him. What shocked me is I got off the phone only to come around the corner in the lunchroom, in the break room, and there were three or four of my checkers who had on one of these shows, The View or one of them, Talk Soup or whatever you call it, and they're talking about, oh, look at North Korea, all those Mr. Spock haircuts, and they can't get one missile, and so forth.
I understand.
And I was stunned that I was being persecuted. And
you really call it a persecution when you're slapping this woman's rear end?
Well, I'm trying to get a business. It feels a little bit like I'm being persecuted when something like this is happening that I think is much more significant in our society every time, you know, the black people, and I don't blame them. They always speak up when there's something wrong. And I'm speaking up now for Koreans. No one cares. All they want to do is drop me down a hole and forget about it.
Well, the other gentleman mentioned that you may have to settle, and I seem to think that it feels that way to me. Our number is 877-876-7445. Let me go to Brian on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Phil, I'm trying to keep from laughing here, but it's a little hard for me to believe that that guy, your guest there, is that delusional. But as far as I know...
Well, I understand, sir, what I did was wrong, okay? But I think that in a day and age where the racism that's been going on. Look at this George Zimmerman deal.
Oh, you're not going to bring that up now, are you?
Well, look, listen. The world is a big place. I mean, you have control of yourself. And, I mean, you could go around picking out problems from here, there, and everywhere as much as a day is long. I mean, you know, I think it's kind of laughable that you know, that you don't get it, that, you know, that's wrong. I mean, I understand, okay?
I thought I was doing the lady. She's a middle-aged woman. I thought, how could you ever think it was sexual?
And, well, now you're moving into an area where you're insulting her.
Oh, see? Look at that. I can't win for losing. If I say that I slapped her on the rear end because she's middle-aged and I thought maybe she'd appreciate the attention, now I'm insulting her. If I slapped her on the rear end because she's young, you know, I did it because I wanted to encourage her in her work efforts as a football coach would encourage his players. All right, well, so I made a mistake.
As far as I know, sexual harassment is defined as unwelcome sexual advances. So it really has nothing to do with your intent. It has everything to do with how she received it.
Right, right.
What do you mean, right? I hear you saying right, but I don't know what this gentleman means. What does that mean, how she received it? I had no sexual intent behind it whatsoever.
Like I said, it has nothing to do with your intent. It has everything to do with how she perceived it. Now, I don't know what to tell you except for go find a dictionary and look
what you're trying to tell me. Let me ask you, you know.
We're talking about the law now, Bob.
Well, you may be talking about the law, but I mean, this guy's laughing. So,
I'm sorry.
So we live in a country.
America's laughing too.
I don't know why it's so funny if I say to a woman or my employees, I want to encourage you guys to do the best you can. There's all kinds of football analogies here in the store, in the break room, in the locker room, in the dock, in the loading dock, everywhere. And so here's this woman who is, you know, pushing 50. And
you know, you keep on talking like that, and it's not helping you out, like that other guy said, you know.
Why isn't it helping me out?
She's pushing 50. She's middle-aged. How could she possibly misconstrue my intent?
Okay. So there you go. So in other words, I'm supposed to say, oh, boy, she had a really great ass?
No, you're not supposed to say that.
This guy's laughing. Sir, can I ask you something? You know this George Zimmerman deal, right? You know the George Zimmerman case? Today, when the Koreans launched that missile, all over the news was, ha-ha, look at these slant eyes. Ha-ha.
I didn't hear slant eye. Where are you hearing this?
What do you mean, where am I hearing it?
Well, I heard a lot of commentary. Slant eye is such an arcane and blatantly insulting thing.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't know what else
haircut?
To tell you.
What about bull haircut? What about bull haircut?
Bull haircut.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Go ahead.
I don't know what else to say, but
I appreciate your call.
That's how this guy wants the top of field and full power to him.
Well, see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You automatically assume the worst. Why? Why? Why don't you believe me?
I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm having a hard time with is if you are innocent, I don't understand. It seems far-fetched that you're bringing up Korea.
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
Why are you saying that?
Because right now we got that George Zimmerman case going, and you guys are trying to tell me that what I'm saying is far-fetched.
Now you're bringing in George Zimmerman, so you have brought in to this discussion George Zimmerman and the North Korean missile launch today. Here's Mike. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I cannot stop laughing at this guy. If you're going to go with the whole sport,
do you own your own business?
Hold on.
Do you own your own business, sir?
Not any longer. I actually sold mine. I used to own a restaurant.
Very significant.
My comment is, if you're going to go with the whole sports analogy based off your address, what happened to the hands in the middle of a huddle? Go team. What happened to high fives? You know, good game. Keep going. You know, let's go get them.
Well, I'm sorry that I don't run my business like you do, and maybe that's why you lost your business, and I still have one.
He said he sold his business.
If I was one of your employees and you touched me on my butt, I'm sorry, it would have been almost natural reflex to put you in a hockey check up against the wall.
Then you got a lawsuit.
Middle-aged or 40. No, you touched me first. That's assault, first of all, not even sexual harassment. You touched me on my private area, on my butt.
Well, I mean, are you trying to tell me that a backhand slap on your rear end, and you turn around and you run my face along the, like in hockey, you just said, so you're going to drag my face along the board like that guy Lemieux did to that one guy Draper.
What are you talking about?
It's called
the guy
perception.
Just.
It's our perception, how you perceive the situation.
Right, that's what the other guy was talking about.
That's what the gentleman before me was talking about.
Yeah, well,
you can sit there and say this lady's all, she's middle-aged, she's, you know, older, whatever. She's probably married, got a family. You think her husband wants you touching her on her butt?
I don't know the answer to that, sir. Probably not. And I think
probably not. Are you married?
All right.
Are you married?
I was. Not now, no.
That explains a lot right there. You guys have a good day.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, are you telling me that not being married is bad? Let me tell you what, my friend. I've never had so much fun.
Well, you know what, Bob? While you're having fun, you need to understand that not every day in life and work is a singles bar. You know, and you're...
Whoa. What do you mean singles bar?
The way you're dealing with the situation that we're talking about seems rather cavalier, like you're not really getting it. You know,
Bill, I told you already that I understand if this lawyer wants to get tough, if he wants to settle for some money, fine. I just don't understand why it is that when I tried to give some old lady a thrill, not a thrill, but...
Was it a thrill or was it something for work?
It was to encourage her to work better. And I do that, but the Koreans are all a bunch of... slant eyes, and I'm the guy that's got to talk to a lawyer. I don't get it. I can live to be 1,000. I'll never understand it.
I don't think that you understand based on a basic ignorance.
I'm ignorant.
Well, yeah, because what you're saying is you just don't understand how this personal situation involving you could be anywhere near as bad as this global perception of the Koreans and their abilities or lack thereof. And that's just not happening, man. All right.
It's not happening, man. I mean, you know...
It just doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Well, you want to be a smartass about it.
Well, you're talking to me... All right, fine. I will pay the attorney.
Hold on for a minute here, and just hold on. I've got to take a break, and we're going to take a few more phone calls, and we are talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Later on, we're going to discuss John Edwards and just exactly how it is John Edwards, a wealthy man, could be up to his rear end in trouble right now for possibly taking money from his campaign fund to pay for an affair. He's on trial. That particular proceeding is happening. We'll be talking about that later on in the show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Robert Green from Fraser Foods on his being accused of sexual harassment and the Korean missile launch. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Far-fetched. And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have with us Robert Green from Fraser Foods. And, you know, you've been hearing people's opinions here, Bob, about you backhanding this woman on the rear end. Her attorney has called you, has accused you of sexual harassment.
Let me ask you something. Don't you think she should have said something?
Did she not say anything to you?
I have to tell you, Phil, I don't remember because, and you're not going to appreciate this because you have not appreciated it all hour, but I was in shock when I heard the Korean story.
Oh, come on. I mean, you're going to keep on going with that.
It was absolutely uppermost in what I was reading today because I was on Twitter, and a lot of the people that I follow on Twitter are comedians and professional entertainers.
Okay.
And they were making jokes about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to pursue that question, though, further with you. Here is Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh, my God, this guy is just absolutely unbelievable. Let me tell you from a woman's viewpoint with this. This guy has got, he keeps bringing in racists, and this guy's a sexist. So there's not too, you know, it's not too far off the mark here. It's just switching
treating
one
a woman
to another.
Equally? Treating a woman equally?
Pardon me?
That makes, I was treating a woman equally with men. That makes me a sexist?
No. Okay, darling, let me finish, please. Also
I was slapping
too,
her on the butt the way I would the guys. That's why I say equally.
Except women. Let me tell you from a woman's viewpoint. This is really something men may not even realize. Because men are the stronger sex physically, women are always on guard, watching guys to see what they're going to do. Men, when they cross the line and touch you physically, you don't know what they're going to do next to you. And that's something you may not have thought about.
I don't understand. I mean, you can walk up. I'm right here. That doesn't make any sense, because if I am touching, it doesn't make any sense. Look, I've walked up to women like you.
If women are afraid of being touched physically because men are a stronger animal, stronger than us women.
And
women are always on guard, like getting in a taxi. So for you to cross the line and touch somebody physically,
wait, hold on for a minute. Do women dance with men? Do women dance with men? Yes, they do.
Yes.
So what do you mean they're afraid of being touched physically?
They pick the ones that they want to dance with, darling. They didn't pick you.
Well, wait a second. You said they're afraid of being touched physically. Now, they are
they're on
like
guard. And when a man crosses the line,
you're telling me that when a woman goes out on a dance floor and dances with a guy, she's ready to knee him in the testicles. That's what you're saying, which sounds insane.
Wait a minute. She didn't say
that.
Yes, she did.
We choose. Women choose who they want to be with. We didn't choose you to slap us on the butt.
If I walked up to you and I gave you a neck massage, is that going to kill you? No.
I would tell you to keep your hands off me. You don't know.
Yeah, she didn't. Right. She didn't tell you.
Wait. You don't understand. I'm giving her a neck massage.
No, you don't understand. No, darling, you don't understand. Step in a woman's shoes, talk to a female. Pardon me?
If I walk up behind you and you're sitting in the break room here at Fraser Foods where we all work, and I give you a neck and an arm massage.
No.
Huh?
I would say,
are you kidding?
I'd say no. And that is
I haven't hurt you.
Pardon me?
I haven't hurt
you.
How do you
know what you're doing to me? If I'm not inviting you to touch me, don't do it. That's what you don't understand.
That's what you're not getting, Bob.
But, Mr. Henry, you don't need to chime in and act like, you know, you're all
done
with
what women are
thinking.
Oh, act like he's on my side? Like he's on, like he could be a feminist? Is that what you're tripping on?
No, ma'am, but he's chiming in as if he understands how it all, you know, works.
Look at Bob. I don't understand how it all works.
Tell me the caller is on your side.
All right, all I'm saying is if I walked up behind you and
I
backhanded
you
rear end.
What is it that you understand about? No, Bob.
I'm asking you. No, I'm giving you a scenario. I'm giving you a scenario. If I backhand your rear end and I say, nice job, Kathy.
Thank you.
And you're telling me that
I'll pray for this joke.
Don't you think that's egotistical of you to think it's sexual? Don't you think it's egotistical? Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm asking you a question.
Thank you very much.
I backhand her on the rear end and she thinks she's so hot. It's all about sex.
Well, look, Bob. I mean.
No, not look, Bob.
Yes, look, Bob, because if the lady says that it, I think she's hung up, but if the lady says that you have touched her in an unwelcome way, you're going to have to take her word for it. And you have to.
All right, all right. So, and this is the discussion, by the way, I had with a lawyer today. I'm going to have to pay out because of you and your listeners and the guilt trip that I'm getting from just about everybody that I know. It's probably going to cost me around 50, 60 grand to settle this. Meanwhile,
the world goes on. Meanwhile, the Koreans. Meanwhile, George Zimmerman. Meanwhile, all kinds of stuff. You know, there's an old saying, if you take care of yourself, it will, you know, the world will... You know the saying, right?
No, I don't.
If a man takes care of himself, then the world will take care of itself.
No, I've never heard that. That sounds ridiculous.
What I'm saying is, Bob...
Yeah, I mean, you're making a statement here, which is fine.
No, I'm just telling you, if you take care of your life, then the world outside of your life is going to make more sense.
What?
You don't understand half of the stuff that I'm saying.
No, I swear to God, you can ask anybody, that doesn't make any sense. If I take care of myself, then the world outside of me is going to make sense. So I've taken care of myself. I'm a wealthy man. I've got a great business. But today, $50,000 is going to fly out of my pocket into the purse of this lady because the Koreans...
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, now it's your turn. Yeah, $50,000. So you sexually harassed this lady?
No, I didn't. I don't. No, I didn't.
Well, then why are you paying 50 grand?
To make it go away.
Okay. And that's because the Koreans did what?
Because they launched a missile.
So in other words, you sexually harassed a woman because the Koreans launched a missile.
You just said they launched it. I said
launched a missile.
No. What I,
you know what, Bob? Here's the problem we're having here. You bringing in the Korean situation screwed this six ways to sunset from the gate because you're trying to mitigate what it was you did in your own life, and this is what we should have been talking about, just this sexual harassment claim.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's leave out the racism against the Koreans so you can spread me across the anthill without any distractions. Well, no.
No, this is not. You're not being tortured. This is you having to pay for a mistake you made. I say again, the world is going to do what the world is going to do. There's all kinds of things happening beyond our control. And if ever there was a lesson, that old serenity prayer that they use, you know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. You can't do anything about the Koreans right now.
I can do something about them being called a bunch of Mr. Spock haircuts.
What are you going to do? Go to every cat that says that? Thank you very much, Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We'll be back here. We're going to talk a little bit about John Edwards and how this man, who at one time was running for president of the United States, a U.S. senator, how this man now finds himself in the sordid, tawdry business of figuring out whether he stole money from his own campaign to have an affair while his wife was dying of cancer. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. And
boy, now see right there. This guy's having an affair.
Get out of here. Be right back to Phil Hendry Show.
God. So unfair.
Phil Hendry.
What about John Edwards?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here at 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Visit us online at philhendryshow.com, and you can get a backstage pass to watch the show tonight, listen to our thousands of hours of archived material, listen to our podcast, lots, lots more. Also, if you are interested in getting some fun stuff, some Phil Hendry memorabilia, there's a Phil Hendry fan in the family that particularly is crazy, and they just got to have something. We've got our Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies that are the big hit of the season. We have our Bobby Dooley keychains, which are quite smashing. And I don't know where my coffee cup went, but we have our Phil Hendry Show coffee mugs. We've got our hats, T-shirts. It's all over there at our shop at philhendryshow.com. So check that out. All right. So John Edwards is the senator, as you know, from North Carolina, former senator from North Carolina. Who is now on trial in one of the most sordid endings to any political career. You know that this man was caught cheating on his wife, a woman who was dying of cancer. You know that this man was, during all of this, involved in a run for the presidency of the United States. And now he is being accused of, tapping into his campaign funds to pay for this extramarital affair. We're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler on, who is a behaviorist from San Diego, to talk with us about that in just a moment. From Greensboro, North Carolina, though, after years of investigation, denials, and delays, jury selection has begun for the criminal trial of former presidential candidate John Edwards. Jurors filed into a Greensboro, North Carolina courtroom, the courtroom of U.S. District Judge Catherine C. Eagles. They asked Edwards to stand and face them. He grinned and he nodded as the judge introduced him. I don't know whether that's an editorial comment or not from AP. The trial had been scheduled to begin in late January, but was delayed after Edwards' lawyers told the judge he had a serious heart problem that required treatment compared with the quick, smiling candidate of 4 years ago. The former U.S. senator, now 58, appeared slightly gaunt in the cheeks, but still had no trace of gray hair in his carefully parted hair. Let's get on the line here. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego tonight. We have another line there to the... Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Good evening, Phil.
And are you familiar with the story?
I am very familiar with the story. Very familiar.
And are you... have you got just a quick knee-jerk opinion?
I think that what happened was very unfortunate. But I think that when you look at John Edwards tapping into the campaign money you're really looking at a man who is attempting some compassion toward his wife. And I think we're missing this.
And how are you saying, so John Edwards, if that's what he did.
That's correct. We don't know. But I think it's pretty evident that he obviously was having an affair. He was paying for that affair with money, and it looks like it was money from the campaign. I don't know, but they always say to, you know, a man is innocent until proven guilty. I have never really been comfortable with that. If I know someone's guilty, I want to say it.
Now, in a court of law, though.
In a court of law is a court of law, but people who are always telling me, oh, you shouldn't say that, it's innocent until proven guilty, I always say to them, yes, you're right, it is innocent until proven guilty if you don't know what you're talking about, but I know what I'm talking about, and John Edwards is obviously guilty, but I think there is extenuating circumstances.
And the extenuating circumstances in your mind is that his wife was dying of cancer, so he dare not take money from his personal accounts.
That is correct, because if he's taking money from the personal accounts and his wife finds out that he's doing that, it is a shock to her, a humiliation to her. It is obviously something that he wanted to avoid. And so instead, he took it from the campaign. I know there's a lot of well-meaning people, Phil, that...
Absolutely. I mean, there were donors. There were people that believed in his run for the presidency. There were people that believed in him personally.
I understand that there are many people... there were many victims in a situation like this, but... Again, keep in mind what John Edwards was trying to do. There's an awful lot of people who call him all these names. I was listening, you know, you had a man on talking about the radio and the TV shows. I was hearing this John Edwards being castigated and characterized, and even my own nephew uses this term douchebag, if you've heard this.
And, yes, I have.
Well, he's using this word. He says John Edwards is a douchebag. Is a douchebag over and over, and I said, it's a very, very dangerous thing to judge a man.
We're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler of San Diego about the John Edwards trial, which has commenced in Greensboro, North Carolina. He is accused of using campaign monies for personal, relationship, this affair, extramarital, with Riel Hunter. Let's talk now, Dr. Sadler, if we could, about this idea that he's being compassionate by not using... Because when I look at this...
Well, you're thinking it would have been smarter to use his personal money.
Absolutely, because he's not going to be running afoul of the law. He wouldn't be running afoul of the law. He would be using money that was his.
Right, but he's not running afoul of the law. But he's using money that his own wife and his own family use. In other words, the personal money. Excuse me for a minute, Bill.
You need a drink of water?
Just a sip of Coca-Cola. Could you get me something else? Because that was horrible. I'm sorry, Phil, but I took a sip out of a can of... I shouldn't say the product name, should I?
Well, they're probably not.
Well, you saying I shouldn't?
I would not.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway because it was Diet Coke and it tasted terrible.
Then why would you ask me?
Well, I don't know. I did want to say the name and I did. John Edwards, Phil, used campaign money that was illegal. But it was either that or he used his household money.
And if he uses the household money, it is a shock to Elizabeth. But she already knows that he's had affairs.
She had breast cancer. She was dying. If he told her, by the way, on top of everything else that you're dealing with, I'm, you know, I'm having an affair.
Well, he wouldn't say that.
Well, he would if he was using the money, because she's going to come to him. If you remember Elizabeth Edwards, she was a lovely woman, but she was obviously a woman that there's no question she, you know, I don't know how to say this, but she ran that house. I think she ran him. And the only excuse that he could have would be that he was afraid of her. But I don't think that that was it. I think he did it to spare her.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler here tonight on the Phil Hendry Show about the John Edwards trial and why he would use campaign money and not his own money to conduct this affair with Riel Hunter. He probably felt that he had a real good, I don't know, that his tracks were covered, you know?
Well, yeah, when they always say follow the money, you mean?
Yeah, because he had this guy, Andrew Young, who was a friend of his.
Right.
And he was somebody that the money was being funneled through, and I believe he was also using him to. So Edwards obviously felt he had this thing covered.
I think he did, and I think he had I think he did have it covered. I think John Edwards, in attempting to protect his wife, Elizabeth, from what was going on, I think he was singled out by the tabloid press. He was chased down, and he was eventually harassed to the point where this affair came out. Through it all, I think he tried to do his very best to protect all people concerned.
Well, one way to protect all people concerned would be not to be involved in the affair in the first place.
I think that you're probably right, but I think that I don't think that it's I don't think you're going to get anybody to disagree with you that Elizabeth Edwards was she was very ill. John Edwards was looking toward down the road a little bit, and she Elizabeth Edwards at her age had obviously put on weight and so forth. So he was looking down the road. He was looking at an end game, if you will. It's like swinging from one vine to the next.
Well, I mean, you're telling me that the man, while his wife is dying, is looking ahead to where? How am I going to? Who's going to be in my bed next?
No, I don't think he said that at all. I'm just saying it was a natural thing. Again, he was protecting Elizabeth by taking money from the
by stealing money. If this is what he did,
I don't. Well, we don't know if he stole.
Well, if he did take, he was stealing.
By taking the money, he was protecting Elizabeth from finding out about an affair he was having that he was engaged in so he could look down the road and have something to come home to. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't. But I know, well, I see what you're saying, but I don't agree, and I think it's a little hardcore. You know,
well, it may be hardcore, but
no, it's, you know, to say, well, I better get something going here because my wife is going to be dead soon. And besides, I'm protecting her from the reality of the affair that I'm having by taking money from the campaign. I don't know, man. Lay that on a jury and their heads will be swimming. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show here. John Edwards, did he do right by taking money from the campaign rather than his own personal money, thus protecting his wife Elizabeth from finding out about the affair? Or should he have stuck to using his own personal money and not the public, about the campaign money that people had donated, believing in his campaign? 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler joins us, a psychologist, behaviorist from San Diego, as we talk about the John Edwards trial. John Edwards, the former senator from North Carolina, accused of misappropriating funds from his campaign and using those funds for to support an affair that he was having, a personal romantic entanglement that he was having with this Riel Hunter. while his wife, Elizabeth, was dying of cancer. Now, Dr. Sadler, you're saying it's preferable for a man, or at least in John Edwards' case, it was preferable for him to take the money from the campaign rather than his own personal funds. This is what's got him, though, in front of this judge and jury.
Of course, Phil. There is the risk of being caught, and there's the risk of being sent to prison for a very long time. But it's either that or your wife finds out, a woman who already has cancer, and by finding out that you're having an affair, and she has nothing left to live for, is going to act in a very rash way.
And what do you mean a rash way? What do you mean? Because I thought you were talking about sparing her feelings.
Well, there is that. But in my own instance, I'm currently married now, but in my wife before I met Amber, who is my wife now, my wife was a woman with a very serious drinking problem. And I had embarked upon this relationship with my current wife because, I'm not looking to get any sympathy or anything, but I was very lonely. I was very lonely as I was involved in a marriage, a very unsatisfying marriage, with a woman who had a vicious drinking problem. And so I did everything that I could to keep her from finding out, including using monies from my business account as opposed to monies from my personal accounts that my wife would discover. I essentially embezzled from my own company, and I got into a lot of trouble for it.
You were using money from your own company for personal reasons.
That is correct, yeah.
Why was it embezzlement?
I put it down as a capital expense, and I got a suspended sentence and probation, but I had to make the money's good.
And the reason why you were embezzling from your own, because you have partners?
Well, I did. I had two other limited partners, but it was my own company. I'm embezzling from myself. But understand, why did I do that? I did that because I was frightened if I used money from my own personal account, my wife would find out I was having an affair with a girl much younger than her, and I have to be honest with you, much way better looking, and she would then then nothing would be holding her back, and then her brother would be around fooling with the brakes or whatever.
Her brother?
Yes. Her brother, I caught him at least once under my car, on his back under my car. And I said, what were you doing? His name was Ron. He said that he thought he detected some oil. And I said, I don't think so. This is the first time I ever saw him working on my... Turned out later, I had it confirmed by my mechanic. He was trying to find the hydraulic line to let the fluid out of my brakes.
Good God. Did you have him... did you call the police?
No, because my wife's brother was the chief of police.
Where was this?
Small town now, just out to the... I can't really talk about it, but it's a little... It was a town out here. I can't... I don't want to mention it. But the point that I'm trying to make here... I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, let's take a phone call, okay?
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Jim Sadler about the John Edwards case. Let's go to Clara in Bellflower, California. Here is Clara on the Phil Henry Show. Clara, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, Phil. I'm doing very, very well. And I wanted to speak with your guest. Is it Dr. Sadler?
Yes, Jim Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, my name is Clara, and I am the wife of a minister.
Yes, ma'am.
And my husband has a congregation of some 3,000 people, but he has time for every one of them, their failings, their faults, and so forth.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not very religious.
All right, you don't have to be religious. But I'm listening to your story about your wife's brother fooling with the hydraulics.
Yes.
And you said that
your wife at the time was going to probably do something violent to you.
Well, she had this idiot brother, and I say idiot brother not because I'm being... He really was clinically an idiot. I don't know if...
We don't use those words anymore, though, do we? I mean, you're the doctor.
Yes, thank you. I am the doctor, and I do use those words anymore. Why do I feel this hostility here, Dr. Sadler? Why do you feel this? There's no hostility. Well, you said to Mr. Henry, you said, I will use the word idiot. Because her brother was an idiot. He was one of these imbeciles that you see from time to time. All right. And I had every reason to fear my wife because the only thing that this imbecile brother of hers could do was work on cars. And he would come around from time to time and fix our cars.
Okay. And you say you found him under your car, and that was unusual.
It was unusual for him to be under my car because I drove a Roadster. It was an old-school Jaguar Roadster. And no one touches that car except me. So when I found this brother of hers, who it really has the IQ of a 9-year-old, under my car, I chased him out of there.
And when you say you chased him out of there, what'd you do?
Well, I just said, get out of here. I took a rag or a coat. The way you would chase an idiot.
Boy, I'm having a hard time here, Dr. Sadler, you know.
What are you having a hard time? I am too, Phil. What are you having a hard time with?
You're chasing the idiot brother away from the car.
What do you want? You want me to lie? I think you have a problem, sir, and here's your problem. You lack any spiritual compassion.
Oh, brother.
No, not oh, brother. Oh, God. And God needs to be in your life, sir. A God doesn't need to be in my life. A good...
All right, hang on, because I heard we had to dump him. Thank you very much, ma'am, for your call. 877.
Yeah, he said a good piece.
I just dumped him saying a good piece. God, we'll be back. Famous Phil Henry Show, and we have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us as we continue talking to him about the John Edwards case. Today, jury selection began in North Carolina. John Edwards on trial, accused of having essentially stolen money from his own campaign fund to bankroll his affair with Riel Hunter. And on the line with me is Dr. Sadler. As we talk about this from a psychological point of view, you say it was better he took the money from the, from his campaign fund than take it from the wife, because who knows what the wife's going to do.
Well, that is my read on this woman, Elizabeth Edwards. I know, God rest her soul. But when you, she's a very strong woman, and I feel that this is what most likely this man was afraid of, that he was afraid that had he been found out by his wife that he was taking money from the household accounts, from his own personal account, that she might be capable of doing things to him that would not be pleasant. And
how do we, this sounds to me as if a little bit of this is being run through your own experience. And for people that...
Well, there's no question, Phil.
For people, just a second, doctor, for people who didn't hear, Dr. Sadler, your first wife was an alcoholic who you dare not tell you were having an affair. You didn't want her to find out because you were afraid of what she could do.
That is for what her brother, what the brother would do.
At her behest.
I'm sorry?
At her behest.
I heard you.
At her behest, at her urging?
Yes, at her, you said behest. I apologize, Phil. I had a very bad line. At her urging, her behest, yes.
I was afraid that she would get this poor young imbecile she had for a brother, Stan.
Now, you said his name was Ron?
It was Ron. It was Stan. You know, he was a man who responded, and this is the tragedy. He would respond. I called him Calvin. I called him Stan. I called him Dr. Fishbein at one point. I said, Dr. Fishbein, and he would respond to that.
Well, that's a very, very sad situation.
Right. Yeah, but it's sad until you find one of them under your car fooling with the brake line. Then it's not sad anymore. Then you've got to get out of there. And I ran. I literally ran to the arms of the woman that I'd fallen in love with, Amber. And
well, you know, I know that the star-crossed worlds of lovers having affairs, marriage, what have you. These are all, you know, there's a story to be told for everyone. What you're telling me sounds like a good old-fashioned affair. You're afraid your wife was going to get angry.
Yeah, angry, and she sends Calvin under my car. That's what you don't understand. And
was this young man, this poor, unfortunate young man of your,
he was my brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law. Was this young man being criminally used by your wife?
I have a documentation that Calvin, a.k.a. Dr. Fishbein.
What was this man's name? What was his real name?
I don't know. I called him all of these names. She called him Stan. She called him Ron.
Was it Ron? That was the first name you used.
It was Ron some days.
You don't even know what his name was.
I knew him. I knew my wife's maiden name was Davis. But I don't know. We're getting way off point here, Phil. All I'm trying to tell you is that I was frightened of her, and I'm sure that that Edwards was afraid of his wife and what she might do if she found out that he had this skinny blonde, okay, because my wife was the same. I have a woman in my life now who's 30 years younger than me. She's blonde. She is beautiful. She's got that, you know, the slender figure. And my wife had gotten that middle age, the whole thing, plus with her drinking. So you can imagine a woman who drinks heavily. She's got the brother that she sends around from time to time to fool around with the brakes. I gotta chase him out of there. And
why didn't you call the police?
Police for what?
When you found this brother fooling around with the brakes. All right, I tell you what, let's take a phone call. Our number.
I'm not going to call. I just got done telling you that her father was the chief of police.
In the little town in San Diego that you don't want to tell me about.
Well, Phil, I'm not making it up.
No, I understand that. I don't think you are. But there's an awful lot of cloak and dagger here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Talking to Dr. Jim Sadler here. It's a roundabout conversation we're having here concerning his marriage and John Edwards' marriage. I don't mean to laugh, but let's go over here to Roy. Hi, Roy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Oh, hey, Phil. How are you? It's Roy Bisbee. Dr. Sadler, I'm listening to the conversation tonight, and I'm afraid that I am with Mr. Henry on a couple of things. For you, your marriage, I don't know, number one, if there's any relevancy to the current situation with John Edwards.
And why do you say that, sir?
Because John Edwards, his wife was dying. He's very public. And anything that he does is going to be made very public. Anything, any move that he makes financially,
good point,
is going to be made public. So if he's taking money from his own campaign conference, regardless of how much he fears his wife, as you say that he did, I don't know what it is that Elizabeth Edwards is going to do to him that is any worse than a federal prison stretch.
I can answer that question for you.
And I would like you to answer that question, and I'd like you to answer one other question. How it is a doctor in the 21st century gets away with referring to someone with developmental disabilities, mental disabilities, gets away with referring to them still as clinical imbecile or idiot? I'd like you to explain that.
Well, I can take the first, you know, like they used to say in the old game shows, Phil, I can take the first part second or the...
Well, let's answer the question first about what it was that he feared from Elizabeth Edwards.
What did he fear from Elizabeth Edwards? I don't know the gentleman. Your name is what, sir?
My name is Roy Biskey.
Roy, what John Edwards feared from Elizabeth Edwards, I can't tell you. Only John Edwards would know that in his heart of hearts. But when you look at Elizabeth Edwards, when she was here, she was a formidable woman.
You're saying formidable?
Yes, sir, thank you. A formidable woman who I would not be comfortable, you know, as the saying goes, I wouldn't be comfortable tucking an ace around her, you know.
I don't know. What do you say?
Tucking an ace. It's like a card term?
Well, no, I don't mean it as a card term. When I say tucking an ace is an old drag queen expression. When you tuck an ace, you are essentially hiding your...
You're talking about...
What do you... I don't understand.
You've never heard of tucking an ace?
In cards? I've never even heard it called tucking an ace. I've heard it, you know, burying an ace.
Well, yes, that's another term, burying an ace. But I mean...
You're talking about drag queens?
When a drag queen takes his... When a male dancer takes his genitalia and tucks it between... You know.
Okay.
It's called, in the parlance, it's called burying the ace.
Okay.
Well, so I wouldn't do that around Elizabeth Edwards.
What woman would you...
Oh, my God.
What do you mean, oh, my God?
What woman would you do that around?
Are you not following me?
No, I'm not following you. Are you, Roy?
No, I don't understand. I think this band is full of a lot of double talk, and here's why I say that.
No, sir, I'm not full of double talk. No, I am not. I've lived this.
And when you say you've lived this, what do you mean?
I buried, to use the term, I buried an ace one night to get away from this woman. I had to hide from her in a nightclub.
You buried an ace. You
are you saying you had to dress up as a drag?
This is a traumatic... okay, go ahead and have your laugh.
Well, I agree with Mr. Henry that your story is very far-fetched, and I don't even believe it now.
You don't have to believe it. I'm the one that lived it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. But I had to, in the parlance of the profession... bury an ace one night in South Miami Beach to get away from my wife, who was threatening to kill me, and I can tell you that that's not funny at all.
I don't think it is funny, but the scenario that you are telling me about...
You know, we are way, way off the topic. The topic is John Edwards.
Right, okay, but you're telling me about your life, how it somehow is reflective of what John Edwards is going through and what it is that he has to deal with. You're dressing up as a drag queen to get away from your wife in Miami Beach one night. She tried to kill you.
Well, where did she try to kill you, sir?
Who are you? Are you the host?
No, sir, I'm the caller.
But I'm not talking to you.
Well, you know what? I'd like you to talk to him. He's my caller.
What is your question?
Where did you... I simply wanted to know, sir, what happened that you had to hide from her.
She flew into Miami and caught me and Amber, who is my present wife, at the Clevelander Hotel bar. All right? She threw a tantrum. Amber took off one way. I took off the other way. She followed me.
Which is makes sense.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. I got into a nightclub as the old joint that was run by What's-Her-Face. Who's the one? You know, the one that thinks she can sing and she can't. Who is it?
I don't know.
The one that with the Miami sound machine?
Gloria Estefan.
Right. I tucked into her club, and that's when I buried the ace. I put it between my legs. I stripped. I didn't know what else to do.
I've heard some fairy tales.
Whatever, sir. It's nice talking to you, too.
I've heard some fairy tales, but that one is asinine. Good night, Mr. Henry.
Good night, sir.
And you know what? Same to you, sir. You have no idea what I...
It's a story that I don't even believe. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back as we talk to Dr. Jim Sadler. And regardless of what he had to deal with his wife, buried the ace. The fact of the matter is, this nut, and I say nut John Edwards, you know, stole from his own campaign. Dr. Sadler has said, better that than steal from the household accounts and your wife finds out. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You want to go laugh? You can. Go ahead and laugh at me.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Jim Sadler with us, our final segment of the program here tonight. And as we talk about John Edwards, Dr. Sadler, and the fix that he's got himself in, a once promising political career. He was a senator. He had a political career. He was a successful attorney. And all of a sudden, this has everything is crashing down around him. He's looking at the possibility of a prison sentence. What went wrong?
I think what went wrong is the fact that he was married to a woman that was, you know, it was a difficult, she had cancer. He didn't know what to do. He was in the throes of one of the most powerful moments of his life. He was running for president of the United States. And had he become president of the United States, he would be the most powerful man in the world. He was on a fast track, and he was married to a woman who was obviously very sick and would not appreciate the fact that he wanted to go out and spread his wings. And so if you're Elizabeth Edwards, if you're the woman that I think she is or was, God rest her soul, I think they would have found John Edwards face down in his own swimming pool. And I mean that.
Okay. So now you're engaging in speculation about John Edwards being murdered, and that's why he stole from his campaign and not from her. All right.
Well, Phil, again, I lived this. And
You told me a story that, yeah, you lived it, burying an ace and hiding from your wife in Miami Beach. It's a very tough story to believe.
It may very well be a tough story to believe if you are prejudiced in favor of a woman who will sick a dangerous brother on you if she finds out that you're finally spreading your wings and living for the first time in your life, and she decides to sick a brother who has the mind of a five-year-old but the ability with an automobile of Andy Granatelli. That's what I had. That's what I lived with. I had an alcoholic wife and a brother-in-law with the mind of a five-year-old and the mechanical ability of a NASA engineer. You know, you can't even imagine.
All right, 877... No, I can't. You're right, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Now that you put it that way, no, I cannot. 877-876-7445. Samantha, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I think that we're pretty lucky that John Edwards isn't, you know, in the presidential seat and then having to face this mess.
That's a good point. That's a good point, that he was not elected president, you mean?
Yes, exactly. He wasn't elected.
Right.
So now we don't have to live with, you know, this, you know, Clinton did the same kind of thing. You know, he had an affair and, you know, the public was shamed because of his indiscretions, as it were.
But you know, Samantha, this is Dr. Sadler. John Edwards, is that his name?
John Edwards.
Yeah.
Well, who did you just talk about? Who did you talk about, miss?
I was thinking of John Edwards.
You just mentioned somebody else.
She mentioned Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay. John Edwards was, of course, going to have to be elected. And you're lucky that people were smart enough not to elect him. But still, he's sitting there facing what he's facing. The possibility, had his wife lived, that he would be murdered if she found out about it.
murdered. Here's a woman who has died.
Far-fetched, as far as I'm concerned, because
here's a woman. This woman is dead. Elizabeth Edwards has passed on.
You
tell me you wouldn't kill him. You wouldn't kill him.
Elizabeth Edwards is dead. She can't defend herself.
No,
you can't
murder.
I'm not saying anything, Dad. All right. Well, let me tell you from my own experience. It happened to me.
I've been listening to the show. I've heard about your experience, actually. I've been listening to the show for the past hour.
Can I ask you? I can tell from what you're saying you don't believe me.
If my husband cheated on me, and let's just pretend for an instance that my husband was in a high arena, and we were different than we are now. And
a high arena?
Higher than we're like middle class.
What are you talking? Like a basketball arena? Oh, you're talking about lifestyle.
No, I mean, like, if we were in, like,
McNichols Arena.
You know, class.
Not McNichols.
As far as people go.
Higher class.
I see. All right. Well, you mean your low class?
We were in a higher class than we are now. And my husband
cheated
on me, and there was some issue about that. I don't think in my most angrily state of mind that I would have been murdered. I think that is a far-fetched.
Well, you're not that type of woman. You're not that kind of woman. But there are some women. What if you had, can I ask you a question, Samantha? I don't think you would either, but what if you had a brother whose mind was a simple mind and he did everything you told him to do? And all you'd have to say would be, Jerry, or whatever your brother's name is, Jerry, go get so-and-so. And he would strangle the life out of him for you.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm asking the lady, Phil, not you. I'm asking Samantha if she had a brother.
It sounds like, and I'm not even in that, like, kind of, you know, I don't have friends who behave that way. I don't know.
No, no, not friends, a brother. If you had a brother that you took care of your whole life, whose mind...
Way too smart to...
Well, what if your brother had a mind like a 5-year-old, but could squeeze the life out of someone?
God, what? Are you listening to this? Are you listening to this guy?
I'm listening. I'm a little dumb.
What's so funny about it?
What I think is ridiculous is you're asking this lady,
Mr. Henry, if this woman was able to control her brother and direct him to strangle the life out of someone, she'd have
Here's my answer to that.
No, I don't like being laughed at.
I, as a woman, would not ask my brother to do that because I happen to know that is the wrong thing to do.
But what if he did anything you'd ask him to do?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to my brother. I don't care
You're talking about using another. Yeah. You're talking about using another human being.
His own what? I just got excited. His own what?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
All right, welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. If you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, it's just a quick flash there of the homepage of our website. In fact, on our homepage tonight is featured the cover of Military Academy Weekly, and there is a picture of R.C. Collins standing in front of drill instructor Brewster from Bradley Military Academy, and the article, it says, in this issue, R.C. gets his ass reamed. So,
yeah, I've got to pick that one up.
Yeah, pick it up at your local newsstand. All right. So, now here's the thing. What do you want to do, bud?
I told you, look it up on Wikipedia. You don't trust it.
I trust Wikipedia for little things. You know, it's not my last source. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's all I've been trying to tell you guys.
Yeah, you don't talk about Wikipedia like I'm some kind of dumbass.
No, I'm just saying, always get more than one source.
Yeah, but you go to Encyclopedia Tanica.
Encyclopedia Tanica. You know, you talk like a 3-year-old. Do you know what Echo Lela is?
Yeah, it's Echo Lake.
Echo Lake?
Right near Echo Park.
Not Echo Park. I'm talking about echolalia. You know what that is? It's what happens to human beings at a certain age. We hear how people say words, and we echo those words. When you're very small, when you're only about two, you can only remember two consonants max. It's very rare to find a two-year-old that can remember three consonants. For instance, the word rhinoceros. If you said the word rhinoceros to a two-year-old, the two-year-old would only remember the two of those three syllables, rhinoceros, actually four syllables.
Well, how many are going to the four syllables? How do they remember?
They only remember two, whether it's a four syllable, three syllable, they only remember two. So,
yeah, y'all spazzed out.
Well, I'm trying to get this said without you guys interrupting me. So, and don't say spazzed, okay, bud, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
So a two-year-old is going to say osiris, something like that. If you say, okay, say rhinoceros, they'll say osiris.
Well, that's three.
All right, so it's three, whatever, you know. But there are fewer syllables that they remember than the syllables in the word. And that's called echolalia, when they echo the word back. You notice this with children. They'll say, you know, you'll say, well, time to go to the store. And you'll hear the kids say, time to go to the store. They're hearing words. They're repeating the words, and they're putting together the images, the visuals.
Kind of like what sea lions and seals do.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about a kid, you know.
What's the difference? I mean, a kid, I know a kid, a human being, but at that age, just might as well have another sea lion in the house or something.
Yeah, it's like having a seal.
No, it ain't like having a seal. It's a human being. And humans, unlike seals, can adapt and continue to adapt to more complex situations, communications, and so forth, whereas your seals and your sea lions can't do that, okay? All right. I don't know why the hell it is we get involved in these kinds of conversations. You guys are driving me nuts. Now, welcome back to our show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com is our live streaming video of the show, and if you have a backstage pass, you get all those thousands of hours of archive shows, our daily podcasts, so many other things. We're going to be starting a free podcast very soon. I know that I told you guys this weekend, but it doesn't look like it's shaping up for this weekend. Here's the challenge. It's not really a challenge, but I want to roll this thing out right, and it's going to be called Phil Hendry Presents, and we're going to have a whole lot of stuff going on, man. We're going to have Daryl Weber.
Oh, yeah, Daryl Weber, man. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
I like that music he plays.
Yep, we're going to have Daryl Weber come back. We're going to have, you name it, man, a lot of Bobby Dooley will be hosting full hours. It's going to be a real mind F, if you pardon the language. All right, here's some news. I just think this is fascinating. I think this is fascinating, but not for the reasons a lot of people think it's fascinating. Fox Mole ousted, whistleblowing hero or disloyal self-promoter? Now, this is from the Christian Science Monitor, which I think is a pretty substantially, you know, vetted paper of record. The Fox Mole, an insider who wrote horrible things about Fox News, has been identified and fired in a fresh parable about how news media tools are creating new workplace issues. As of Tuesday, Joe Muto, I believe is how you pronounce his name, was newly enshrined as the Fox Mole, an employee inside the right-leaning news network who was tattling in public about the alleged failings of his employer. Now, this guy Muto, listen to the story. The next day, he'd lost his job while winning some fame, being threatened with a lawsuit by Fox, and dangling the prospect that he has, quote, much more to say, end quote. Now, who is this guy Muto? Joe Muto. Mr. Muto, who until...
Mr. Muto?
Not Mr. Muto. Okay?
That guy was a wrestler. I know.
But I really, you know, I don't want to hit a guy who's got a plate in his head, but I'm going to do it if you keep on interrupting me.
But that's it, Mr. Muto.
His name ain't Mr. Muto. It's Mr. Muto.
Yeah, but it makes you think about it.
Anything would make you think about Mr. Muto.
You think I'm gay for him?
Will you just shut up?
Yeah.
You too. Mr. Muto, who until Wednesday was an associate producer at Fox... Do I think you're gay for him? Mr. Muto, who until Wednesday was an associate producer at Fox News, adopted the Fox Mole persona on the news website Gawker. In blog posts that sometimes included video footage of anchors like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, he echoed views that have long been voiced by critics from the outside. Now listen to this. This is what gets me. He echoed views that have been long voiced by critics from the outside, that it is biased against President Obama and Democrats, and that its coverage is anything but fair and balanced. Well, how about that? The guy is talking about Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, two commentators, not news reporters, commentators, who are very definitely right-leaning. As much as you like to think, Mr. O'Reilly, that you got everybody conned into thinking you're the no-spin guy, yeah, uh-huh, spin this, brother. Sit on this and spin.
Ha ha!
O'Reilly with the no-spin fact. Who are you kidding, man? But the fact is, whether O'Reilly is right, is a commentator, he is a commentator, so is Hannity. So they're right-wing commentators. So what? So what are you giving me, man? This guy's a mole and he's got some inside information? You ain't got anything, man. So now the Christian Science Monitor, after that big revelation, yes, he's echoed what many from the outside have long suspected. Maybe they're biased. Well, you think? In their editorial opinions, they are, but I'll tell you this much, the way they report news, and I'm just talking about their news reporting, is not, I don't find it biased at all. You cannot make the case that it is biased one way or another. You can make the case on their website, that their news reporting and blogging is pretty right-leaning, but I'm talking about the broadcast network. I can't stand the Fox News website anymore than I can stand that CNN website. They're both highly biased sites. So it goes on to ask this question, this mole, this Joe Muto with his big fat mouth going over to Gawker, basically, taking videotape from his employers, talking about people that he works with. Is he a whistleblowing hero, a disloyal self-promoter, or something in between? A whistleblower? What? Are you kidding?
What's that?
A whistleblower is a guy who knows that there is something patently illegal or blatantly immoral going on, and he tells the public about it, even to the point of, losing his job, losing his friends. Jeffrey Wigan, now there's a whistleblower. This is a man that worked for Brown and Williamson Tobacco as a chemist, and he did an interview with CBS at great personal risk, and by that I mean career risk. Although, you know, if you saw the movie The Insider, they tried to intimate that there was some physical risk. I don't know. But certainly a great career risk. Jeffrey Wigan went on CBS, and he was hung out to dry, man. This cat basically said that Brown and Williamson had a company policy as a tobacco and cigarette manufacturer to increase the levels of nicotine in their cigarettes so that they were increasingly delivering more and more nicotine to the customer so that they would have a customer for life. Purposefully addicting the customer by this method of delivering nicotine. They call it a nicotine delivery system is what they called the cigarettes.
Well, what? Why do they call it nicotine what?
Nicotine delivery system. That's what a cigarette is. That's what Mr. Wigan called it. Now, what in point of fact they were doing was they were manipulating the nicotine content and chemical content of these cigarettes. And they had him sign a non-disclosure agreement after he had been fired. I think he'd been fired, but he was allowed to keep his benefits. And so he had his benefits. And he had, I think he had a severance package that was very nice. But they were nervous, and as the movie says, at the very beginning, they said to him, we want to expand our zone of comfort with you. We want you to sign this non-disclosure agreement after the fact. This is very unethical. But nonetheless, they had him over a barrel. This guy wanted to keep his health insurance. This guy wanted to keep his reputation intact as a chemist and maybe get a job someplace else in corporate America. So he went ahead and he did all this stuff and still was screwed with by these cats until finally he couldn't take it anymore and he went to 60 Minutes. And it's ironic I'm talking about him because I guess maybe I'm thinking about him because Mike Wallace died this week. But that's what a whistleblower, a guy who is a whistleblower who's actually doing some good. This guy's really actually talking about something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, but if that guy had an agreement not to say anything, he's still messing up.
You're right. You're right. You know, when you sign an agreement and you say, I will do this and I will do that, you put your name to it, you should. In Mr. Wigand's case, at least according to what, you know, the film showed, and I guess, you know, in many ways it could be an extremely biased document, but he had agreed to these things, and he was holding up his end of the bargain, and all he wanted was the health insurance, and all he wanted to be basically was to be left alone so he wouldn't have to deal with any more of this nonsense from Brian Williamson. But they kept after him. They kept after him. They kept screwing with him. They kept asking him this and asking him that, and they wanted to expand their level of comfort and blah, 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 until finally the guys couldn't take it any longer. So an argument is made by him that he was harassed into doing this. But this little J-off, and we better break and I'll get back to this, this Mudo guy ain't no whistleblower. He's a gossip monger. That's what he is. All right, we're going to come back in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We have an iron swine?
Oh, yeah, you're going to do an iron swine about, well, you don't want to say.
Yeah, but it had to do with that guy's brother-in-law fooling with his brakes.
Oh, swell. All right, iron swine coming up next to the world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now on the Phil Hendry Show, Iron Swine.
Hey, Iron Swine, and we're, and by the way, we have special effects on this one today.
Yeah, we have all the special effects.
Yeah, I got it. Today on Iron Swine, Iron Swine goes to visit the man his wife hired her idiot brother to fool with the brakes. Gonna go and tell the guy.
Yeah, hello. This is the Iron Swine office.
Yeah, hey. I'm on the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and, my wife's got her brother. He's under the car, and he's got the mind of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, that sounds like a job for Iron Swine.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're gonna send Iron Swine.
So we send Iron Swine over this guy. Yeah. Now I'll be the guy.
Yes, this is Iron Swine.
Yeah, I come out here to my Jaguar, and my wife's brother's under there fooling around.
Get out of here, get out.
Duh.
Get out of here, you dumbass.
Duh. Thank God, Iron Swine. I didn't think.
You can fool.
Oh, are you back in the office?
Yeah.
Thank God, Iron Swine. You got rid of that dumbass.
Yeah, Dad, all I did was use my coat to shoo him away.
Thank God for Iron Swine, even when he only used a coat to shoo away a dumbass.
Iron Swine.
God.
What?
I don't know what to say. It's just they get better and better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
you could get anybody to do that job.
No, you couldn't, because Iron Swine... he's the only one.
So Iron Swine is the only guy that could come out to this guy's house and shoo this guy away with a coat.
Yeah.
All right, man. Good job, guys. There's Iron Swine. All right, where the hell were we? Oh, yeah. So back to this mole. Now, this guy who is at Fox News, and he is now trying to call himself a whistleblower. His name is Joe Mudo. Or, if you will, Bud, Mr. Moto. This cat listens in to the conversations that are happening around him there in the newsroom. He is listening in to the different, things that are happening. He takes videotape. He's posting this stuff on Gawker. You know, this is a guy that you talk to at work, a guy that you share your workspace with, a guy that you have a level of confidence in. A guy that, you know, is giving you have no reason not to believe it. And he's purporting himself, pretending that he's a certain person. And he's a douchebag. He's a scumbag.
Why do you say that? The guy, he's like a whistleblower.
No, he ain't no whistleblower. That's the point I'm trying. If he was really a whistleblower, what is he blowing the whistle on, man?
I'm talking about Fox being biased.
Oh, well, now there's a real newsflash. So Fox is biased? By God, everybody knows that Fox's success is based in part on the fact that they are at the antithesis, antithetical I think I've butchered that word enough, to the typical, you know, the perception of the liberal media. Fox was the release valve. Fox was the antidote. And there was a refreshing, I guess you could say there was sort of refreshing, the pause that refreshes, man, to be able to go over and watch Fox News. To say, though, that this is a secret.
Yeah, but you just said that they're not.
Well, I said if you look at the way they report their news, look at the way they report the news. Forget about the, and I'm talking to the broadcast network now. Forget about their the commentators. Everybody looks at the commentators as if they're news reporters. They are not. Sean Hannity is a commentator. Bill O'Reilly is a commentator. I don't know who the hell else they got. You know, what do they got? Geraldo?
They got like Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah.
Greta Van Susteren is a commentator, and on. Glenn Beck was. And yes, they all have a sort of a right-leaning philosophy. But then when you look at their news breaks and their news blocks and how they report news, I don't see, and I'm not talking about Fox and Friends. I look at that show as like a more of a commentator type of a show. What this guy Mudo was doing was just basically spreading a lot of gossip, any kind of juicy stuff. If somebody, said something, you know, nasty, that's not whistleblowing. That's just basically spying on people. If somebody used the F word, if somebody squeezed some chick's ass, if some guy, whatever, that's not whistleblowing people. That's just some scumbag spreading a whole bunch of gossip. Any workplace in America has it. Any workplace in America is rife with all kinds of behavior from one day to the next. And here's a guy that that these people trusted.
Yeah, but I mean, what if he kept on going and they never didn't find it out or nothing? They might have found out some really cool stuff about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they might have. And, you know, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What?
I said if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What's that mean?
If, that's what it means.
Yeah, you're supposed to say that counts in horseshoes and hand grenade.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say what?
You gotta say A-bomb.
No, no. No, I'm not saying it's close. I said if. If is a big word, bud. If this, if that, if something else. If they would have caught something, and if they would have caught this, and if they would have... This guy, one day into the job... First of all, this guy isn't bright enough to cover his tracks. One day they catch this guy. That's how stupid he is. Now he says he's got a big story to tell. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'll take any bets here at the Phil Hendry Show, any bets at all, that the only thing this guy's got to say is a whole lot of personal stuff, personal slams, personal asides, a lot of, you know, Sean Hannity used the F word here, and Bill O'Reilly leaves the seat up on the toilet over there, and Greta Van Susteren didn't light a match when he used the ladies' room here. You know, but I mean, that's what it is. Nothing more substantial than that. I got money that says that's all this little worm. And that's why I call him a worm, man, because I tell you, I hate this kind of thing.
Yeah, you talk about about disloyalty.
I hate disloyalty. I hate it. I've been loyal my whole life to a lot of people to a fault, let me tell you, to a fault. And then people go around behind my back, pee down my back, tell me it's raining.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you, Iron Swine.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What other news do we have? We already talked about Korea, and we talked about John Edwards. Oh, Zimmerman. More Zimmerman news on ignoring the dispatch. Remember we talked about that last night? Here's some stuff. We'll get into it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We got into a discussion here about James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe, as you know, is the man who made films, heavily edited films about Acorn. He's probably the guy, the single biggest reason why Acorn is no more. We got into a discussion because we were talking about these whistleblowing kinds of things. Now, there's a critique on James O'Keefe in The Atlantic that says the following thing. You can mislead your subjects. You can mislead your subjects. For instance, the Acorn people. Mislead them into thinking you're something that you aren't in order to elicit from them a certain response. All right. But you don't ever want to do that with the audience of your material. And they accuse O'Keefe of editing so heavily and presenting what he did with Acorn and these other groups as the actual chronological timeline, you know, the real-time thing that happened, that he's misled. He's out and out lying to the audience. No, that isn't really what happened. What you did was you set them up this way and so forth. It's kind of like NBC editing that 911 call. And we're going to talk about Zimmerman here in a minute. So that it sounded like Zimmerman was saying, yeah, and he's black. When in point of fact, he was responding to a question about the race of the man. But, you know, the whole reason I'm saying this, when you talk about misleading the audience, on our show, we do satire that our audience is in on. We don't hide anything. We don't lie to the audience and say, you know, if somebody were to ask me, well, you know, what is it that you do, Phil? What's a satirization of you know?
Well, you know, don't talk so much about it. You're going to give away.
Yeah. What are you talking? All right. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but you're going to keep on talking about it.
All right. Well, here's the point. If you don't let the audience in on it, they're saying that is bad, and that's what O'Keefe does. I'll tell you another guy that doesn't let the audience in on his horse dung. Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer, and you know, and if I was to talk to Jerry Springer right now, he'd probably, oh, come on, Phil, it's just like you, you know, I mean, the people know. Get out of here, man. You know, you don't present yourself as a comedy show, man. I do. I present myself as a comedy show. You don't. You want people to think that you're doing some kind of, you know, talk forum. Bull crap. You're full of crap, man. You don't tell them that. You're a liar, man. And I, you know, it's cool with me. It's fine. And that makes money. And that's, if people are lied to and they're all right about it, that's all right. I'm not, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's what he's doing. So don't, like the man says, pee down my back.
And tell me it's raining.
Thank you. All right, let's move on now to George Zimmerman. And after weeks in hiding, George Zimmerman made his first courtroom appearance Thursday in the shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, and prosecutors outlined their murder case in court papers, saying the neighborhood watch volunteer followed and confronted the black teenager after a police dispatcher told him not to. The brief outline contained in an affidavit filed in support of the second-degree murder charges appeared to contradict Zimmerman's claim that Martin attacked him after he'd turned away and was returning to his vehicle. In the affidavit, prosecutors also said that Martin's mother identified cries for help heard in the background of a 911 call as her son's. There had been some question as to whether Martin or Zimmerman was the one crying out.
Yeah, they say it's his mother, but she's going to say that.
Well, let's not, you know, I'm just reading it. The account of the shooting was released as Zimmerman, 28, appeared at a four-minute hearing in a jailhouse courtroom setting in motion what could be a long, drawn-out process or an abrupt and disappointingly short one for the Martin family because of the strong legal protections contained in Florida's Stand Your Ground law on self-defense, which more and more with every passing day sounds like one of the worst laws. Even the guys that authored that law, even the guys that authored it came out and said, this isn't what we meant.
Yeah, but they might change their mind.
Which, there you go. Well, that wouldn't surprise me either. Being politicians, that would make, you know, being politicians, by God, why would we expect them to clarify things or to make things clearer and to make things easier to understand and to, you know, to help interpret the situation? No, why would they do that? They may change their mind. All right. During the hearing, Zimmerman stood up straight, held his head high, and wore a gray jail jumpsuit. He spoke only to answer yes, sir, twice after he was asked basic questions from the judge, who was not in the courtroom, but on closed-circuit TV. The defendant's hair was shaved down to stubble, and he had a thin goatee. His hands were shackled in front of him. He did not enter a plea. That will happen at his arraignment.
What'd they do today?
They charged him today. Though, well, this was actually the presentation of the case. They're presenting evidence. and he has a right to be there to hear this presentation. Is that called a presentment? Well, I don't know. The arraignment is when he will actually be asked, how do you plead? It's for May 29th. That's his arraignment. Zimmerman's attorney, Mark O'Mara, has said his client will plead not guilty. A bail hearing for Zimmerman probably will be held April 20, according to O'Mara. Now, to prove second-degree murder, prosecutors must show that Zimmerman committed an imminently dangerous act that showed a depraved lack of regard for human life. The charge carries a mandatory sentence of 25 years in prison and a maximum of life. The special prosecutor in the case, Angela Corey, has refused to explain exactly how she arrived at the charge, but in the affidavit, prosecutors said Zimmerman spotted Martin while patrolling his gated community, got out of his vehicle, and followed the young man. I never knew he was on foot following this kid.
I didn't either.
Prosecutors said in the affidavit that Zimmerman profiled Martin, who was unarmed and wasn't committing a crime. Zimmerman observed Martin and assumed Martin was a criminal, the affidavit said. Zimmerman felt Martin did not belong in the gated community and called the police. Prosecutors interviewed a friend of Martin's who was talking to him over the phone moments before the shooting. His parents' lawyer has said that Martin was talking to his girlfriend in Miami. During this time, Martin was on the phone with a friend and described to her what was happening, the affidavit said. The witness advised that Martin was scared because he was being followed through the complex by an unknown male and didn't know why. That'd scare the hell out of me.
I'd turn around and kick his ass.
Oh, you turn around and kick his ass. Here's a guy that's following you. And it comes down to, and now, you know, you can hear what people are going to be saying now. They say, well, I mean, he could have done something other than attack. Well, how do we know he attacked him? During a recorded call to a police dispatcher, Zimmerman, and here's the crux of this particular story, quote, made reference to people he felt had committed and gotten away with break-ins in his neighborhood. Later, while talking about Martin, Zimmerman stated, these a-holes, they always get away, and also said, these effing punks, according to the affidavit, which is available at blah, blah, blah.
Where's that?
It's http://apne.ws. I can't read this whole thing. You know, look up the story, man. So it continued. When the police dispatcher realized Zimmerman was pursuing Martin, he instructed Zimmerman not to do that and that the responding officer would meet him. Zimmerman disregarded the police dispatcher and continued to follow Martin, who was trying to return to his home. Zimmerman confronted Martin, and a struggle ensued, prosecutors said in their account. Now, that's what the prosecution is saying. That's not what the defense is saying. The prosecution is saying that Zimmerman followed this guy, followed him on foot. He followed him even after he was told not to follow him, and it was he that confronted Martin. The account provided no details on the struggle other than to say that witnesses heard numerous calls for help and that Martin's mother reviewed the 911 recording and recognized her son's cry. Zimmerman told authorities that Martin attacked him as he was going back to his vehicle, punched him in the face, knocked him down, and began slamming his head against the sidewalk. That's what Zimmerman's claiming, but
they don't believe him.
The prosecutor doesn't believe him. She doesn't believe him. She's saying something else happened. She's saying that he did the confronting. That he was following this kid and that he was following the kid on foot. That's what the prosecutor's saying. So Mr. Zimmerman's statement already by the prosecutor has been essentially disbelieved. And that's not unusual, folks. I mean, if you're charged with a crime and you say you didn't do it, and maybe you did, and you're giving a whole load of baloney to the prosecutor, they're going to obviously say, well, we don't believe you. Guess what? We're charging you with this and that, and your statement is horse dung, and we're going to prove it in court. At Thursday's hearing, the case was assigned to Circuit Judge Jessica Rockseidler, a 39-year-old former assistant state attorney from Sanford who was elected to the bench in 2010. Zimmerman's being held without bail. For all the relief among civil rights activists over the arrest, legal experts warned, there's a real chance the case could get thrown out before it ever goes to trial because of Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which gives people a broad right to use deadly force without having to retreat from a fight. Well, that's a great law, man. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if you allow people to legally use deadly force when their lives are not threatened, you got a problem. And it could very well be that Florida's saying, you know.
Yeah, maybe they don't know. People don't know what it is.
Well, I was going to say, maybe Florida says, you know, the average person, the civilian, doesn't know when his life is in imminent danger. He's not as trained as a police officer, so he should be granted a broader field of action, which is insane. Because you're basically saying, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll give this guy a bigger, you know, kind of freeway to drive down because he doesn't know enough to know not to do this. So I don't know. At a pretrial hearing, Zimmerman's lawyers would only have to prove by a preponderance of evidence, a relatively low legal standard. This is a pretrial. That's why it says that Zimmerman's attorneys are attempting to prove something. It's not the trial. That he acted in self-defense in order to get a judge to toss out the secondary murder charges. If that fails and the case does go to trial, the defense can raise the argument all over again. He acted in self-defense. And there you go. There's a high likelihood it could be dismissed by the judge even before the jury gets to hear the case, Florida defense attorney Richard Hornsby said. Karen Moore, who's an assistant professor of law at Florida A&M, said the law puts a tremendous burden on the state to prove that it wasn't self-defense. So the lawyer for Zimmerman's expected to ask the judge for a hearing on stand your ground. So in other words, they're going to say, here's the law, Your Honor. Before we go any further, you know, we need to know how our client was not within the protective, the shield of this stand your ground law.
This is a load of bullcrap, man, a stand your ground. They're going to kill a guy.
Well, I don't know, bud. I mean, you know, this is Florida. This is the law they've got.
Yeah, you even said the guy that come up with a law says a horse dung.
The guy that came up with the law didn't exactly say this was horse dung, but he said that this is not what our law, you know, what we meant by it. All right, let's take a break here. The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL as well, of course, online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And our final segment ahead here on this Thursday night. No, it's Friday morning. It's a beautiful thing. It's Friday the 13th.
What?
Friday the 13th, man. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Friday the 13th. You know Friday the 13th, bud.
Cut it out!
Yeah, Bud's superstitious.
Yeah, I'll tell about that black cat.
Yeah, man, see, now you're playing that song.
You better believe I'm playing the song. I had the Howlin' Wolf for it.
Shut up!
Are you, let me ask you something, man. Are you superstitious?
About a black cat, yeah. I ain't
superstitious, but a black cat crossed.
Yeah, see? See?
It's a freaking song, man, you know. It's Friday the 13th, so there's, you know, anybody that's freaked out about that stuff better start getting freaked. Sometimes
the dogs begin to bark.
Yeah, I'm definitely going home and I hear the dogs barking all over the neighborhood.
That ain't dogs begin to bark.
All right, man, take a freaking chill, will you? What is it with you?
Well, there's a reason on account of people don't like Friday the 13th.
Yeah, there's a reason that has to do with old religious beliefs, and, you know, look at the human race doesn't believe a lot of that stuff anymore, okay?
Not Friday the 13th, the black cat, like a poison apple.
A poison apple?
Yeah, what about that?
You talking about Snow White?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, today is Friday the 13th, I don't know what it's about, man. I ain't going to get into that stuff. It's, I think that they're, everybody has their superstitions. I'm trying to think if I've got any. And I don't hold to them to the point where I get irate. I think if you have a superstition or a tradition and you get, like, nuts, if the thing is, and I mean, you think it really helps you and you get crazy.
What about voodoo?
Voodoo's very interesting, you know.
But not the same thing, that thing they call Santa Maria?
It ain't called Santa Maria. It's called Santeria.
But what's the Santa Maria?
Yeah, that religion in Miami called Santa Maria. Or what's that guy, Mongo Santa Maria?
Mongo Santa Maria was a jazz musician. Santa Maria is the name of a town in California, and Santeria is the Miami version of the Caribbean voodoo, baby.
What's that do?
Yeah, all freaked out, huh?
Shut up! That voodoo do stuff?
Yeah, baby!
Come on, Kyle, what does Santa Maria do?
Santa Maria, Santeria. It's a religion, man, that is rooted in Africa. Okay?
Yeah, the slaves brought it.
The slaves brought it. And it has changed form over the years, because when the slaves brought this religion, Santeria, especially to the Caribbean, and especially to Haiti, Haiti at the time was a French colony. And what religion was predominantly practiced in France, and I dare say probably still is?
Islam.
Islam?
Yeah, ain't that it?
No! Catholicism.
Oh, back way back.
Yes, back in the day. So what happened with voodoo is it got mixed in with a lot of Catholic beliefs. Voodoo and Santeria, they have a sort of a pantheon that's similar to Catholic saints. Well, these are very powerful figures. And then they have their one, you know, god, or the one big-time god. I don't know, man. You know, you're asking the wrong guy, but I'm just giving you the general outline of this thing. But you're talking about, like, evil voodoo. It has everything to do with convincing the subject or the object of your black spell that they're, you know, can be affected.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, did I believe in it? Like Vivian or something, on account of she's black. I'm not saying I'm being racist or nothing.
But why are you talking about her being black?
Because that's the people that do it.
No, you're nuts, man. There's all kinds of white people that do voodoo.
What?
Oh, God, there's all kinds of white people that do voodoo. Miami, New Orleans, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, man.
You met a white man doing that?
Oh, there's white folks down there. They do that voodoo. Don't even get me started. You better believe they do. So, no, this ain't no black thing. It was brought, like I said, it was brought over from Africa. But here's the thing about, if you talk to anybody that knows Santeria or voodoo, and the thing about Santeria, by the way, they ran into a big problem back in the 80s for sacrificing animals. And they were, I guess, there was some question as to whether it was done in a humane way, and so on and so forth. That, like the killing of animals in the Jewish faith to prepare them for to be consumed kosher, it has to be humane. And I don't know what was going on with Santeria. I don't know whether they fixed that or what the trip is, but... You know, you gotta if you believe that somebody can cast the voodoo thing on you.
Yeah, man. Like if I had a voodoo doll.
Yeah, but see, if they got a hold of a voodoo doll and made it out of, I don't know, made it out of stuff that I threw away, like a snot rag or something, that could have effect on me.
A snot rag, huh? Is that what they're gonna make the voodoo doll out of?
Well, whatever. They get a hold of my DNA.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The DNA.
Yeah, that's it, bud. They'll grab an old hanky that you blew your nose into. To make a voodoo doll out of that.
What are you laughing about?
Oh, why don't you relax? The whole thing with voodoo is if you believe it, it gives it its power. And now Santeria, which also has voodoo-like spells and stuff. I guess Santeria is like an American version of voodoo or something. I don't know. But I think that there's been an awful lot of discussion about how evil it is. And it's like Wicca, you know.
What's that?
Like witchcraft.
Yeah, that's witchcraft. They're trying to make it everybody believe that don't turn you into anything.
What? What are you trying to tell me? Witchcraft turns you into something?
What about that kid you said got turned into an apple?
What kid did I say got turned into an apple?
But that one kid.
No, man, that was a kid that called the show and said maybe the kid will get turned into an apple, and he was making a joke. God.
I don't know, man.
Oh. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Boy, are we getting out of here just in time tonight. Turn the kid into an apple. And don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. We'll see you guys tonight, Friday night, Friday the 13th.
Shut up!
Woo!
Woo! Quit it! We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.